Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Okay, let's go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, I love it, I love it, I love it. I think I said last Sunday morning, it's like there's no book of the Bible, and I know we could argue this, no book of the Bible that is just so, it's so chock full of doctrine. Every word is dripping with eternal truths. And I rehearsed some of this last Sunday morning. Here's some of what you read in the book of Ephesians. The word quicken in chapter 2 in verse 1 and verse 5. Seated, made nigh. Reconciled, fellow citizens. Chapter 1, blessed, chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed. Man, just the book of Ephesians is a wonderful, wonderful book. Stand with me and let me read just a couple of verses out of Ephesians chapter 2, and then I'm going to preach out of Ephesians and chapter 4. And I'm glad you're here this morning, because souls are at stake. And that is the purpose of this message this morning. I'm not sure what you're going to hear, because the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and speaks to us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's, we read something and the Holy Spirit's talking to you as a child of God, and you miss the next 5 minutes of what the preacher's saying. So I don't know where God is going to take you with the scripture this morning, but souls are at stake. Amen. People, their eternality, their eternal lives are in the balances. And I want to share with you out of Ephesians and chapter 4 in a moment how to win your loved ones to Christ and your Jerusalem to Christ. And it's not new doctrine, it's good doctrine. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Remember last Sunday morning's message? Before you got born again and before I got born again, we were spiritual corpses. We did not understand any of the things of God. We knew there was a God in heaven, maybe. And maybe we had a little instruction in Sunday school when we were a young boy or a young girl. Or maybe we picked something up along the way. But the natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. So before we were born again, we were spiritually dead. But Christ, who saved us, he provided for us at Calvary. The Holy Spirit is the one that quickened us. Old English word means made alive. And you who he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me pray before, because I'm ready to start preaching right here. Father, I come to you right now, and I don't want these people to be standing while I run off on this scripture. So God, while we're standing, we look to heaven and we pray for your direction. God, we pray for the unction and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. God, dear Holy Spirit, take the word of God, which you have inspired, and speak to all of our hearts here this morning. May we get a burden. May we understand souls are in the balances. May we understand more than ever before. We are at the end of our lives, the end of the church age. You are coming again very soon, and there are still people that are not born again by the thousands, by the teeming millions. And we as a New Testament church and as individual believers, we got to get serious about reaching our Jerusalem and the whole world. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. "And you hath he quickened." There's nothing like salvation. And I saw the glory of God last week. Not only different people. I told you last week about some men I led to the Lord. Well, there was another young man that got saved. It was almost a week ago now. Another young man who is a student at Maplewood. He's 6 years old. His first name is Caden. They're not here this morning. They're not here often. But Caden got born again. And here's what happened. I'm walking across the parking lot, and a little boy says, Pastor Rader, and they got up to me, and he's just beaming. He said, "What's your name again?" I said, "Pastor Rader." He said, "Oh yeah, Pastor Rader. Guess what?" I said, "What?" "Listen, I saw the glory of God in his face like I have not seen in a long, long time." He was, you talk about a grin from ear to ear. It was all over his body. I said, "What, Caden?" He said, I just got saved. And he said it just about like that. It was like a little kid that was told that, hey, they're going to the candy store. He said, I just got saved. I said, well, that's wonderful, Caden. Who led you to the Lord? What's his name over there again? Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill, he led me to the Lord. Yeah, he told me about Jesus. And his teacher, Teresa, you know, in class, they've covered the gospel. I saw the glory of God in a six-year-old boy's face. If you'd have seen it, it would have thrilled your heart. I've not seen that kind of joy in a long, long time. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil. He said, that's what you used to be. Now you got born again. Now you're completely changed. Now you're that new creation that I preached last Sunday morning. Things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, don't go there anymore. Things I used to wear, don't wear them anymore. Things I used to say, don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Man, it's a wonderful course. Quickened, made alive. Life has changed. Not walking the way you used to walk. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, there it is again, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, it's going to get better, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen, if you got born again, you're born again and made new, that new creation. I am telling you, in eternity future, if you're not living for God today, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. You say, but I'm enjoying this life right now. I'm enjoying the nest. I'm enjoying my little pet sins. I'm telling you, for eternity, you're going to regret it. He's going to show us riches like we had never, could never know here on this earth. Let's read on. You're familiar with some of these verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are going to heaven because of anything we have ever done. There aren't going to be any boasting in heaven. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I am the workmanship of Christ. Not only did he save me and give to me eternal life, he is still building me and conforming me into the image of Christ. As a child of God, I got to keep growing. And that's what we're going to get to in chapter 4 in just a moment. But I wanted to say this. I wanted to read this. We are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You didn't lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. Listen, you don't deserve to go to heaven. Neither do I. Not of ourselves. It's the grace of God, the gift of eternal life. Man, and he died for us while we were yet sinners. So much could be said about that. Don't ever be ashamed of that gospel message. Amen. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Go over to chapter 4 and verse 1. That's my rags to riches story. Man, I have it all in Christ. I want to prepare us for the short months that are ahead of us, and then going into the fall. And the fall will be upon us very, very quickly. I announced last week, the date is June the 22nd. We're going to have a Kinross Blitz. We're going to hit every house in Kinross. And then in July, we're going to Red Yard on a Saturday. We're going to hit every house in Red Yard. And then in August, we're going over to Pickford on a Saturday. And we're going to hit every house in Pickford. And just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Just like the Mormons, except we are bringing the truth. Amen. We're carrying the gospel. Amen. They're carrying a false gospel. They're carrying a false message, and they're out there serving their false God and willing to do it in the hot sun. Man, we ought to be willing to do something for Jesus, especially after all he's done for us. And I'll prepare you for that if you have never done that before. But I just want you to know, man, there's great days coming. Look what it says in chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. He says, that word therefore, he says, because we are saved by grace, Ephesians 2. Because Jesus did it all, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Because the church of Jesus Christ is ordained, chapter 3 and verse 21. Because we are not worthy, I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Everybody tell me, what's the word beseech mean? Beg. Here's the Apostle Paul. This is a man, if anybody should have been held, should be held in great respect, any man on this earth, it would be the Apostle Paul who God used to write most of the New Testament. The great Apostle Paul, who referred to himself as the least of all the apostles and the least of all the saints, who referred to himself as a wretched man. He truly was a spiritual man. He said, I beg you. It was so important that the great Apostle Paul put in Holy Writ for the New Testament saint to read throughout the ages, I beg you, because there is something that is bigger than the Apostle Paul, bigger than you and bigger than me, bigger than any trophy, bigger than any paycheck, bigger than any house. It's bigger than it all. He said, I beg you, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Amen. Man, how can we do that? How can I walk worthy of the grace of God? I'm telling you, you aren't going to make it in your flesh. You can't do it, but you better be struggling to do it. You better be struggling to live for God. You better not be lifting up your feet and say, I'm going to be the world, man. This is easy street. I'm going downstream. I'm drifting with the current. I'm just going to become what the world has wants me to become. I'm telling you, it's a shipwreck. That's a rough life. You're going to regret it for all of eternity. Don't go there. He said, number one, verses 1-3. Let me read it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What a challenge. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says here, get low. Child of God, get humble. There's no room for pride in the family of God. Pride brings about divisiveness. Pride brings about destruction. It was pride that was the sin of Lucifer in eternity past. It tells us in the next chapter, I believe it's chapter 5, these things ought not to once be named among the saints of God. Not one time. We should not be known as a proud people. We should not be known as a people that carries their King James Bible into church with their nose up in the air and I'm better than everybody else. That kind of spirit is a destructive spirit. Can I tell you this? It's a fleshly spirit. It's a self-promoting spirit. It's a spirit that says, look at me, I am better than everybody else. I don't need to obey the word of God. I know better than God. That's what you're saying. Hey, Lucifer said that one time. That's a destructive sin. We need to make ourselves low. We need to be humble. There's no room for pettiness in the family of God. There's no room. Don't ever climb up on a plateau somewhere where all of a sudden you think you're smarter than everybody else and you're God's gift to the church and people ought to just do things your way all the time. Why aren't more people paying attention to me? Man, you got it all backwards. Paul is saying here in verses 1-3, live like a Christian. We're the children of God. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Born again, saved by grace. We're a member of God's family. We are God's representative here on this earth right now. We are the children of God. But we didn't do it. Jesus did. And it's all about honoring Him, living for Him, not for ourselves. I wrote this down so I'd get the number right, and I've already forgot. Oh, here it is right here. Last year, two families from downstate moved here. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. They moved here not for a better job. They moved here not for a nicer home. They moved here for this church. The year before that, another family moved here and their kids are in the Christian school. Why did they come? For this ministry, for this church. Sometimes you're so close to the woods, the trees, you don't see the woods, you don't see the forest. Last Sunday morning, three families, this is amazing. Three separate people. They grabbed my arm. One of them grabbed my arm on the way out. They gave me a prayer, some family that they're concerned about, some people that I'm to be praying for. And I've been praying for them this week, by the way. I know you're watching live stream. But three, and actually a fourth family is talking about it. They said, Pastor, this is my words, but this is what they said. We're moving to Kinross. I'm looking for a job transfer. I'm giving up my job. One guy was retired. We're moving to Kinross. Pray for housing. So why are they moving? For this church. They've been watching it on a live stream, and they realize how important a New Testament local church. By the way, those kind of people will take every time, man. Man, they're already growing. They already got a hunger for the Lord. I see just the opposite sometimes, though. I could name some people over the years. I won't do that because I don't sit as their judge. They left this church for a better job. They moved away. One family's in my mind right now, and he lost every one of his kids. But he made a six-figure salary. And those were good kids. But we as a New Testament church, let's be thankful for what we have and recognize it is Christ. Amen. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Then in verse 3 through 6, verse 4 says, there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I would just simply say this, somehow, some way, we need to stay together. We need to be unified. We need to harmonize in God's great choir. There's four parts to music as far as the choir is concerned. There's the bass, there's the tenor, there's the alto, and there's the soprano. And all four of them together, they make a chord. If all four sing the right note, it's very pleasing to the ear. If one group, like the tenors, get a little bit flat, then it is not pleasing to the ear anymore. We are all part of God's choir. We all have a part that we must sing. We've got to get together. But we're not talking about four-part harmony. We're talking about 400-part harmony. And that's chaos if we're all doing our own thing. If we're all expecting other people to... You ever see an orchestra? They're before the conductor steps up to the podium, everybody's kind of tuning their instrument. It's chaos. It's chaos. The violins are doing one thing. In fact, the violins are all doing something different. Every single one of them, and all the trumpets are all doing something different. Everybody's trying to tune their instrument, and it's all chaos. You know what I'm talking about, right? They're warming up is what they're doing. They're getting everything in tune. And then the conductor steps up to the podium, takes his little baton, his little sissy baton, and taps it, and goes like this, and everybody stops. Now everybody knows what they're going to do. They're going to follow the conductor. And it's beautiful. That's the New Testament church, following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all have a different instrument. In fact, let's go to the next verse. Use your gift. We all have different gifts. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Very gifts. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We all have different gifts, and these are some of the leadership gifts, and there are no apostles today in the world. An apostle was someone that was handpicked by Jesus, taught by Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, and witnessed the resurrection. There are no prophets in the Old Testament since today that foretell the future, but there are prophets that are foretelling the word of God. Then evangelists, these are those that assist the New Testament local church in evangelism, Byron Fox, right? And then pastors and teachers, God called leadership, for the perfecting, for the completing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is the object of the New Testament gifts. We are to use those gifts to benefit the church of Jesus Christ. God gave to you, this is a metaphor now, you take it for what God put on your plate, an instrument. You are to toot that horn for the glory of God. God gave to you an ability. You are to use that ability in God's great choir for the glory of God. If we're going to reach our Jerusalem, we all got a job to do. We all have a calling. Walk worthy of the vocation to wherewith you're called. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. Sometimes we overlap a little bit, but in order for everybody to hear the symphony, in order for everybody to recognize that is a New Testament local church, something special is going on there, then we've got to have everybody playing their instrument. Everybody doing their part, following the great conductor, not doing your own thing, not bringing about chaos, not bringing about division, following the conductor, by way of the word of God. And you get into the scripture, and you become faithful, you become loyal, you use your gift. Can I say this? We need prayer meeting at Fundamental Baptist Church. If we ever get to the place, I'm speaking to a few people here this morning, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Don't take it wrong, and don't take it as a cheap shot from the preacher. That's not what I'm meaning. Every denominational church, none of them have prayer meeting anymore. You know that, right? You know why? Ichabod is written over their church door. The glory hath departed. They're not interested in going to God as a group, as a congregation, and congregational prayers and old-fashioned prayer meeting. We had a great prayer meeting last Sunday. We did. And that's why God blessed so much this week. And there were a lot of people in great needs, and it was a wonderful prayer meeting crowd. And it was a wonderful Grow Kids crowd and youth groups. They had big numbers there as well, but it was just a wonderful. But now Grow Kids is done for the summer. We've got a reading program for the little kids, but all that's left now is prayer meeting. Well, I guess I won't go to church Wednesday night, but it's just prayer meeting. Can I tell you, if we don't have prayer meeting, if we don't have God's people going to the throne of grace, no prayers are being said, and God's not hearing. Well, I guess that church, my church down there, isn't really that interested.
That's right.
They're not asking for blessings. They're not coming together. If you work in King's Kids, I keep saying King's Kids, you know what I mean. If you work in Grow Kids, and you can come for that on Wednesday night, you can come for prayer meeting.
Amen.
Please. I just emphasize that as a pastor. I'm speaking to a lot of people maybe you've never come to prayer meeting. Come on out. It's good. We study the Psalms. 10 minutes in the Word of God. Share our prayer requests, and then we break up and go to prayer. Man, and we just pray as long as it takes. It's a wonderful pick-me-up in the middle of the week. And what a difference. It stokes the furnace in the boiler for the New Testament local church. Use your gift. Verse 13. Till, here it is. So God gives these gifts to the church till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that's a complete man, unto the measure of the stature, the height, of the fullness, the maturity of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, because men will trick you, and cunning craftiness, because the devil will trick you, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. So I underline no more children, and I underline grow up, and I drew a line between those two phrases in verses 14 and 15. We need to grow up in the family of God. We need to get out of the way and let God build us into the people we want to be. Some of us refuse to grow. I don't like those vegetables. I'm not eating them. Mom, I want ice cream. And some moms, this is the culture we live in, give their kids the ice cream. And they're malnourished. In the family of God, Matt, I don't want that meat and potatoes. I want cotton candy. I want a candy bar. I want a pizza. Man, I hate to classify pizza in that same group, but I want a pizza. But a good parent's going to say, eat your meat and potatoes. Eat your vegetables. I want you to be a strong boy. I want you to grow up to be a strong girl. I want you to be complete in the family of God, as a child of God. Man, we got to grow up. And I'm running out of time already real quickly. We got to love one another. That's what it says down here in verses 15 through 16. And be there for one another, and every joint supplieth, and according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. So that body of Christ is a metaphor. So the family of God, the New Testament local church, we're to grow, we're to increase. We're to increase in stature, in height. We're to increase in completeness, in maturity, and we're to grow in grace. So we need to humble ourselves. We need to find out what our gift is. We need to stay together. We need to do our part, play our instrument. We need to grow up. We need to love one another. And then if you just turn the page, in my Bible, you turn the page. And then he says, and I'll just summarize verses 21 through 29. Get right. Just simply get right, so that I can use you. Here's where we are at Fundamental Baptist Church. I've been rejoicing for 2 weeks. We knocked these walls down. I'd love to come over here when nobody's here. And I pray all over the auditorium. I did it last night. I did it yesterday morning. I did it on Friday. I'm not praying to these walls. I'm not praying to these seats. I'm praying for the people that will be here. I'm thanking God for the opportunity. I'm thanking God for the privilege. We will never worship the building. It is never going to be an idol. This is a tabernacle. I do believe as people of God, just like in the Old Testament, we put forth excellence. We do the best we can, put our best foot forward, but we don't lose sight of what it's all about. It's people. It's winning the lost. Amen. It's seeing little Caden beam from ear to ear. We're going to be together in heaven. That's what he's saying. He is saying, these aren't his words, but here's what he was saying. I've been scared of dying. I've been worried about eternity. I found out today that Jesus loves me. I found out today that he died for me, and I asked him to be my Savior, and now I'm going to heaven, preacher. Man, he was excited about that. And it's about reaching those kinds of people. God is on the throne, and he is at work. People moving here, man, when's the last time you heard something like that? The Kinross miracle. I told you last week we needed $80,000 for the HVAC and the carpet. Well, now we need $55,000. It's amazing what God does. It really is. Can I say this? This is a church family, not any visitors. If you're not involved in the project, it doesn't matter if all you have is the widow's mite. Be part of the miracle. Get involved. Man, make a contribution. And I'm not talking about the amount. It don't matter what the amount is. It might matter for you, but that doesn't matter. I just want you to be involved. Play your instrument. Do what you can do. Right now, Brianna Peterson's cowering underneath the pew over here. Where you at, Brian? Brianna, back here? Because I've been getting all over about playing her violin here in church on Sunday. And you weren't here again this morning, Brianna? That's on the internet now, so it's really on you, right? I did not intend to say play your instrument, but it just kind of spilled out. That must have been for you, Brianna. It had to be. I'm not talking about the violin, all right? I'm not talking about the trumpet. I'm talking about the gift that God has given to you. Use it for the glory of God. Sing in the choir. You can sing? Sing in the choir. We got people singing in the choir. Their gift is not music. But they're willing. And God blesses them. That's wonderful. It's too easy to sit back and really walk worthy. Listen to this. I'm done. Listen to this. Walk worthy of the vocation to wherewith you are called. New Testament Christianity. He lays it out in Ephesians. Get away from the sin. Get away from the sensuality. He nails it. Just as hard or harder than any preacher could possibly nail it. The Holy Spirit spells it right out in the book of Ephesians. Talk right. Dress right. Walk right. Smell right. You'll reach your Jerusalem. The glory is in the church. Ephesians and chapter 3. Find your gift. Use it for the glory of God. Prayer meeting is big. Soul winning is big. Makes all the difference in the world. If you'd have seen Caden's face, if somehow, some way, I could have taken a snapshot of that. That was his soul, man. He was so happy. I remember when I got saved. I remember the load that was lifted off a little fifth grade boy's heart. I remember the joy. I told my parents I got saved and they weren't even saved. I had no idea, no fear of telling them because I was just so happy. The presence of God was overwhelming in my life. You couldn't have shut me up. And my parents weren't negative about it. Later they got saved and they knew what I was talking about. You know, we who were dead in trespasses and sins, spiritual corpses, we've quickened. We've been made alive.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.